Temperance Part 3, please turn to Acts 24. Temperance, or self-control, or exercising restraint in all matters, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, is a vital part of a Christian leader's walk and certainly instrumental in the quality of life that that person leads. We saw in part one how temperance is listed as the ninth fruit of the Spirit. So it's first spiritual. So being from the Spirit, it's not simply bodily or mental discipline, which there's plenty of in this world. But temperance is a grace inspired and spirit enabled self-control, which means we have dominion over our desires, appetites of all kinds, habits that can rule us, dominate us if left unchecked. It is God-inspired restraint. Now, some of these appetites can be common, so other people deal with something similar, but they can also be nuanced and particular to each of us. And God can show us where and when is the best way to apply this temperance. Often religious people fall into the trap of human asceticism, which is the lifestyle of abstinence through self-discipline, like self-imposed poverty and simple living for the purpose of pursuing spiritual goals. This approach can become works for man's approval before God. Then we looked at part two of temperance, and we focused on how temperance influences our purity of heart and biblical character. Temperance holds back the impurities of corrupted physical and spiritual influences, and there's plenty of those. So they don't get mixed in with our bodies, our heart, and biblical character. Because temperance is like a gatekeeper to help us maintain a pure heart. Then finally, today we're going to talk about temperance part three and how it's also evangelical. So temperance is used in reaching others with the gospel. We'll see how this works. Temperance is directly involved to someone becoming all things to all men, that they might reach some. So, to reach a wide range of people, we cannot be preference dominated, which is static, but spirit inspired, which makes us dynamic. Temperance helps us guard against becoming preference dominated, where that basically runs the show. Nothing wrong with preferences, but we don't want them to rule our lives. So Christians who exercise temperance are playing the long game. They're making decisions now that will pay dividends in the future. And this is across the board in every category of life. So the gospel, the good news, encourages us to restrain unchecked appetites, and especially in light of considering the future. Godly restraint is a demonstration of faith whose end is hope. And we'll see how this ties in here. So that's why temperance demonstrates vision, because it sees afar off, it plays the long game. So here in Acts 24, the Apostle Paul is before the Roman governor Felix, and Paul chooses temperance as one of the three categories he addresses when explaining the faith of Jesus Christ. Amazing. Here in Acts 24, verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And the text adds Christ Jesus. Felix was not necessarily a scrupulous man. He had a pretty bad reputation of being abrasive and a little bit cruel in his application of authority. So it's very interesting that Paul is addressing these things with him because this guy wasn't necessarily overly friendly. At least that's what historians say. And as he, Paul, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. That means he became afraid and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have convenient season, I will call for thee." So the topic of this discussion, the reasoning, which is where we get the word dialogue, it was a back and forth. And Paul was a prisoner, subject to the rules of Rome. But yet, Paul brings up the faith of Jesus Christ. And how does he decide to handle it? He decides to handle it in the context of a dialogue. So probably he asked questions and went back and forth. And he dialogued about righteousness. Righteousness is to be right with God. And that would deal with our past, if you will, the righteousness. Then he reasoned with temperance. There's our word, temperance. Self-control, restraint. And this is something that this individual was not exercised in. Felix, meaning. He was, according to historians, he was not a good guy. Maybe a little abuse of power, but he had a very influential brother who protected him. The influential brother was in good state or good standing with the emperor, Caesar. So he reasons with him about temperance, self-control. And it's right tied into judgment to come, which is dealing with the future. So, right here we have the past, the future, and the present. And there must have been something extremely compelling about Paul's presentation, something that really got to Felix. Because Felix had all the cards, he was the governor of Judea, or certainly a high-ranking official. But yet he meets with this one man, and Felix is in fear. To tremble means to become afraid. Like perhaps maybe his life isn't what it should be. So we don't know exactly what was said. We just know kind of like a summation. But look how powerful this is. Through faith in Christ, he would have explained that we are righteous. We are right before God. And that as a Christian, we have no judgment awaiting us in the future. And perhaps he told Felix, "You might want to get on board here because I cannot speak for you unless you accept Christ. Therefore, we can and should exercise temperance in the here and now, self-control." And you'd think that Felix wouldn't listen to this, but Felix did listen. It says that he heard him concerning the faith in Christ. He listened, he heard it. So, how convincing do you think Paul was? I think he was pretty compelling. Paul could have chosen to speak about a lot of things. The injustice that he was brought before Roman authorities for no reason. Sure, he could have talked about that. He could have talked about his Roman citizenship Paul was a very well-read and well-learned academic. So he could have really spoken a lot of things. But look at what he chooses to speak on. He moves forward, makes no apologies for himself. He makes no excuses. He dialogued concerning the faith of Christ regarding righteousness, what's right before God, temperance, which is self-control. And perhaps that really got Felix's ear. And about the judgment to come if self-control isn't necessarily exercised. So Felix became afraid. It pierced through all the cultural, governmental, bureaucratic barriers that possibly could be involved in this encounter. A Christian, Paul, before a Roman authority, and look at what he handles. In essence, he handled the right and self-controlled, morally right path is the most prudent when the future is being considered. And perhaps that got Felix's attention. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're looking at temperance and how it's tied evangelically to reach others. Because there's something about a person that exercises self-control, restraint, that a lot of people don't, that arrests people's attention. I'm sure Paul was an example of righteousness, temperance, and a consideration of the future in his presentation. There's something about restraint, temperance, and self-control that helps us and is a dynamic and compelling witness to people. We're not supposed to be just running around doing whatever we want whenever we want. There is to be some self-control because the world will have you think that you can do whatever, whenever you want. And that's really not what God has in mind. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please. Look at verse 19. For though I, the Apostle Paul, be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. In other words, he's free to be Paul. But he decides that he is going to make himself a servant to all. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews or Judeans. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. You see a theme here. Paul is adapting himself without compromise. How do you get to the point where you can adapt to the needs of people without compromise? Temperance. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. How does somebody adapt themselves without compromising their core value, without compromising their faith? Temperance. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not, verse 24, that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Now he puts it in an athletic metaphor or even an allegory. He's saying life is like a race, y'all. And this race has a prize, and you run for that, the prize in the race. Verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery, here it is temperate in all things, has engaged themselves in self-control. Those of you that are athletically inclined or have athletics in your background, you know that to really gain ascendancy and proficiency in any discipline, especially athletics, you have to exercise some self-control. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Temperance is rewardable by God. It's a category of reward for exercising restraint in all matters, physical, emotional, and mental. Absolutely, 100%. Because the world wants to steer you into whatever you want. Do whatever you want, whatever feels good, or, however the saying goes. That's not going to produce the greatest spiritual result. And actually, as a Christian, it's not going to really satisfy you. It may temporarily give you a sugar high, but it's not going to satisfy you. I therefore so run, verse 26, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. In other words, he doesn't want to be disqualified from the competition. So what does he do? He exercises temperance in all things. Why does he do this? For the gospel's sake. This is tremendous. Temperance is key to becoming all things to all men. And it is part of the antidote to becoming preference oriented or preference dominated. You exercise restraint. That includes our mouth when we speak, our appetites, our emotions, all categories. And it's rewardable. And remember, it's not just self-discipline, it's spirit-inspired, God-enabled restraint. And He will work in you to show you how that fits for you. And let's close in Philippians chapter 4. There's so much more we can do with this, but it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. It's a result of walking and thinking spiritual things. It produces that temperance, that in God-inspired restraint. In Philippians chapter 4, it says in verse 3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. The book of life is a reference. It isn't really a book. It's a reference of the names of those that have salvation stamped on their souls. And those names are with God. That's you. That's me. Many others. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So that's a nice thing to remember. We are to rejoice in the Lord. Then it says in verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. The word moderation is gentleness. Gentleness. Why is this tied into temperance? Because demonstrating gentleness, considering what is coming in the future, in the Lord's day, reflects someone who exercises temperance. They're in it for the long game. They make decisions now that will benefit them in the future, that will accrue dividends in the future spiritually. Because someone that is gentle with all people, because they understand what's coming in the future, has a comprehension and a grasp of God's sovereignty, His justice, and His care. Gentleness is a demonstration of temperance. And it's very important for a leader. According to Titus 1, it talks about temperance for a leader is involved in not being stubborn. Temperance for a leader is involved in not flying off the handle, not being angry all the time. It talks about alcohol, it specifically mentions wine. It talks about exercising self-control and not bullying people. Not allowing ourselves to be greedy. It's all in there in Titus chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. See, there's so much tied to the significance of self-control. Being gentle with people is an indication of true strength. True strength. Those who have power and authority to exercise restraint, even when people might deserve it, is so commendable. And no better example than our Lord, who on the cross, unjustly accused and in the process of being executed, states, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." When he could have called 12 legions of angels to rescue him. That's temperance. Another way of understanding temperance is mercy, the withholding of merited judgment, because mercy is a demonstration of temperance. So you see how this temperance ties into so many facets, aspects of the interwoven fabric of Christianity. It's first spiritual. And it also guards and keeps our pure heart because it's moral, but it's also a witness and can be involved in evangelical pursuit of winning others because we endeavor to be all things to all men. That's going to require restraint. Temperance or self-control or exercising restraint in all matters, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, is a vital part of a Christian leader's walk and quality of life. It is spiritual, it is moral, and it is evangelical. It has those applications and touches every aspect of our life. It's one of the most significant character-building exercises we have that heals, strengthens our bodies, guards our hearts, and demonstrates an understanding of God's sovereignty and care right now in the present as we look towards the future. Because His strength is in us, we can be gentle with ourselves and with others because we see the day approaching. We see the day of Christ's return approaching. And we respond like Philippians 4:5 says, "Let your gentleness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand."